Hello.
You're right. It's only ABW Live, isn't it, people? Oh, I've done. Every time I edit this, Jason always shouts at the beginning because he's so excited. And on Audacity, I see a big spike and I have to go and cut the spike down so it doesn't deafen people on iTunes. And what have I done, Carl? I've shouted, haven't I?
Yeah, you have.
I'm an embarrassment to myself and the whole of human race.
I'd agree with that.
All right, steady on. No need to get that bad, is there? Right, my guest tonight is it's only the man who has the power to stop anybody with the name Andrew getting to work every morning as and when he wants. It's only Carl, aren't they?
I mean, fuck Fife. I think we have to start a new hashtag because my name was blasphemous. Oh. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, clearly anyone knows who's ever travelled around London, TFL is definitely the way to go. And, you know, good service in all lines. Not right now at the moment, so don't use the underground now.
You're not there at the moment, though, are you?
No, but it's not a very good service.
Don't ruin it. I've just started installed Forza Horizon 4, and I really wanted to have my registration plate as hashtag fuck Ellis, but it was not enough letters. Also with us tonight, making his second appearance on a Burkhart Wonderland product, because where there are many and varied, is Andrew Agnelli from London. Did I say your surname right, Andrew?
Near enough, and you know, we'll get there eventually.
Oh, how should I have said it? Do you say the G more?
Yeah.
Oh, good, lovely. Right, well, I do have about 4% Italian DNA in me. I think that's official, maybe even 10%. I don't know. My granddad, naughty boy, he had everyone over there. Right, then, I suppose, no, I'm not going to say hello to people in the chat box unless they say the magic word. And what's today's magic word, Carl, that they have to type in the chat box and want me to say hello to them?
Fuck Fife.
Hashtag fuck Fife. So anybody who puts hashtag fuck Fife in there, they will get a little mention on thing. But you're about 6 or 7 seconds behind us. So getting on with this, because there's very little to talk about, is Carabag. I'm not going to call them Carrier Bag, because they are a team that have done really, really well to get where they are. Carabag 0, Arsenal 3. As we all know, Carabag are an Azerbaijanian team. Oh, I thought I'd fuck that up. And I've been aware of these, oddly enough, since Tony Adams went and managed in Azerbaijan. He managed a team whose name also began with a Q. I think it might have been Kobala or something like that. And I remember looking at the time, best part of a decade ago, seeing this other team thinking, wow, they've got a load of money. They take their football really serious over there. Whole training grounds. They don't just do what some countries do, like in China, where they go, we're going to go and buy everybody for all the money in the world. They're starting from the bottom. They're building up the infrastructure, the training grounds, the stadium, the training, everything. And they're doing it properly. And I just had a look, and the Carabag have won the league 5 times in a row. So that's not too bad. That's why they're so dominant. And then tonight was their 100th game in Europe, most of which were in the Champions League. And also, this was their 10th game in Europe this season. So I worked out, if they get to the Europa League final, they're going to be playing about 24 games this season. Wow, that is an absolute load. Right, first, oh, has anybody said the hashtag fuck Fife? I don't think anyone's done it. I think no one's joining in, Carl.
Bastards. How about fuck Ellis? Because everyone... That's fuck Ellis.
Kurt Garnett has put hashtag hug Fife. Oh, dear. Right. Well, actually, we'll say hello to anybody who puts a hashtag something and then Fife. Expect Nicky Wilson at this moment to be typing hashtag something Fife, because he's a tit. And I've been stalking him on Hot UK Deals.
Right, sweet. Let's talk about the game.
Yeah, they said there's nothing to talk about. Right, first thing I want to mention is why were we wearing red shorts when they were wearing blue? Any ideas, Carl?
Because UEFA are weird.
That's a very good answer. Andrew, have you got a better answer?
Because Arsenal are weird.
Fucking hell. I'll tell you what, between you two, we've got this covered. Okay, right. We're going to move on to the lineup. So, Andrew, any thoughts on when you saw the lineup? Was there any confusion with you whether we were playing a back three, back four, back five? Anyone at the back?
I think, well, yeah, I mean, I think when I saw the starting lineup, I think I did suspect there would be a back five. I didn't predict that from the start. I thought he would, you know, stick with his back four as he's been doing. I didn't think he'd particularly want to go so defensively when playing against a team like Carabag. No disrespect to the opposition, obviously. But yeah, to see both Monreal and Kolasinac playing, in the starting lineup sort of told me that at least, well, what one of those two players was going to be playing out at the left wing back position, and that it would be a back five. And in the end, I guess it proved to be pretty necessary, considering the fact that we faced quite a lot of chances in the end. So yeah, but other than that, I think the starting lineup was pretty well balanced in terms of players who don't get to play as many minutes and young players, as well as having in there. But I'm sure we'll get onto individuals in a second.
I agree with you there. Carl, looking at the starting lineup, we've got Leno, Sokratis, Torreira, and possibly Holding. So that's four out of them lot would probably start this weekend's game. Was that a worry for you? And what was your thoughts on the lineup?
No, not really a worry. We need, the squad was rotated heavily, which is kind of what we needed. And yeah, Torreira didn't start and he came in at halftime. So I guess it's a little break from him. I really miffed that Monreal starting. I didn't quite get that because he's played a lot of games recently. And I thought this would have been a great opportunity to rest him and to go with Kolasinac. But we didn't. We started both of them, which is really, really weird. I wasn't expecting that. I don't think anyone was expecting that, but it worked. I think the three at the back or the five at the back, whatever you want to call it, it didn't work in the first half, and we'll get onto that, but it didn't. There was something just not right with it. Just didn't. The flow wasn't good enough, and obviously he changed it in the second half, which we'll talk about, but Guendouzi coming into the squad, you know, I think he's kind of lost, not, I don't know, called it lost his place, but he's not at the moment starting, and Torreira is starting. So that's something that was needed up front going forward. I think Welbeck was obviously was going to start. I couldn't see anyone else starting. And Smith Rowe with his opportunity, which he done really well, which we'll talk about later. And he won't be, I think he definitely, he's starting to call for a first team place now, because his performances as of late have been really, really good. And I think even tonight he was very good. So he'll be looking for some starts in the Premier League soon.
No, Dora, fuck off. Yeah, some points there we're going to bring up later. A few hashtag fives in here. Kevin says, hashtag WTF5. Oh, Steve has put hashtag work to work five. Work to work five. super fabricabilispixp. I'm never going to get that. It's just hashtag happy five. So Antonio's block says hashtag East five for 4-5 life. Daryl Kane isn't playing the game. Have we got any more? Oh, is Fifey in here?
No, he's not.
Oh, here we go. Loki's put hashtag 4-5-5 East 5-4. Bob Lex says hashtag 3-4-3-5. Ah, Peter Coulson has put 5 bruised banana. Marco has put Ellis is 5. and Mike has put hashtag thug 5. So when you scroll down on the chat box for us, it tends to go nothing, nothing, all the way down to the bottom. So there you go. Oh, here we go. Stan the man has put 5-5-4-5. Is Fife in here? Oh,
no.
Oh, he is. He's there. He says, Baccarat, Dora, fuck off. The cat wants to jump up and knock everything down. Our very own Andrew. It can't be our Andrew Fife in there. Bloody hell, it is. He says, Bakerloo line, severe delays due to an earlier communications equipment fault. Tickets aren't being accepted to London Overground, Thameslink, and local bus services. Well, there you go, people. We're nothing if not informative. So, yeah, I hope you're not going to use this opportunity, Carl, to be mean to Fife all the way through the show, are you? Because you wouldn't do that, would you?
I mean, fuck Fife again. I just want to say, anyone who's using London Overground tomorrow, there could potentially be a signal failure in the Canterbury area. So you may want to complete your journeys before. And also, people, I'm going to be very informative. There is a central line strike tomorrow. So there is no central line on the entire line. So
yeah,
let's not go there.
No, let's not. And in fact, nobody will be going there because it's on strike.
There you go.
Anyway, enough of underground information. Right, start off with a third minute. Sokpap goal. Monreal header from a corner and glances off a Sokpap. great start and his first goal for us, Andrew, because Carl didn't see the game, but you have seen the highlights. So, Andrew, what was your thoughts on that set play? And were you surprised that we went ahead so early?
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see. Obviously, great to see Sokratis getting his first goal for us as well. Another goal involvement by Monreal as well, can I just say. I think Arsenal tweeted the stat. It was like, our defender's been involved in the most goals for us since the start of last season. I think he's scored 7 goals and had 4 assists or something like that. So, I mean, for a left back is pretty decent at the least. And it was great to see Sokratis. I don't know how much he knew about it. I think he just tried to get any kind of flick on it.
I thought he was getting out of the way.
I don't really know what was going on there, but I mean, I'm sure he'll take it at the end of the day. His first goal for the club. Good to see. And I think he's probably surprised a lot of people since we signed him. I don't think many people were that optimistic about him, especially compared to the other signings. But I think he's been decent for us at the back. He's been something different for us at the back in terms of sort of the darker arts of the game. And I think, you know, yeah, to add a goal to his name will only improve his confidence. And it's great to see him back from his injury so early.
That was his 17th goal in 402 games. And there are a few at ABW that are Borussia Dortmund fans, and all of us had no worries at all that he wouldn't be good, because everybody was rubbish at Dortmund last season. Carl, were you a little bit sad that Sok Pap scored? Because that would have been, what a wonderful goal that would have been for Monreal. Yet another magnificent strike from a bloke who at times... very underrated. He just amazes me, and what a wonderful, lovely human being.
He is. He's a very nice player. He's a very complete player as well. Do you know what? I don't really care who scores as long as they're going to the back of the net. I really don't. It would have been a good goal for Monreal, but you know, as long as they're going to the goal, that's good. And I think for Sokratis to get his quote-unquote first goal, because it was his goal, but it wasn't at the same time. It might give him a confidence boost, because now he can definitely get onto the pitch and sort of enjoy what he's doing. I mean, I think when he came in, no one sort of gave him a chance, and what you're saying, Danny, is that everyone thought he would be good. I didn't. I'm not going to lie to you, because I thought he had the turning circle of an 18-wheeler lorry. He was very slow, and I didn't hold much hope, but you know, as the weeks have gone on and I've seen him play, he has improved. He definitely, I mean, we've come against Man City and Chelsea, but the test will come thick and fast. But at the moment, he's doing well and he's playing very well. So you can't really say that he's doing badly. He's doing a job for us. And, you know, he's had to play with a lot of partners as well. He's had to play with Holding. He's had to play with Monreal, who for me is not the best defender in the world. But at the moment, we've won 8 games in a row, so you can't really complain.
Do you mean Monreal not the best defender as in a centre-back?
No, I'm talking about Sokratis. Like, when he first come in...
I thought you just said Monreal isn't the greatest defender.
No, I said he wasn't.
I might have misheard you.
Are you drunk?
Yeah, I've been drunk so many times recently, or since 1993, none. Right, so the next point we're going to move on. I agree with everything you were saying there. He's just, he is really becoming, would you say he's becoming a fan favourite already?
I think it's a bit too early for a fan favourite. Don't worry, when we start losing games around November, December, that's when everyone will start blaming him.
I'm going to go to Andrew now. Andrew, would you like to try and back up my point that he is a fan favourite already, just to make me look good?
Oh, fan favourite is a strong word, but he's definitely grown on everyone. I will say that.
Lovely. Okay. Their striker. Now, I don't know what the name of their striker was.
Please don't try and pronounce it.
Innocent is what I would call him, and innocent he was not. I've made a note here that their striker is a diving twat after the 9th minute. Andrew, did you think that that was ever going to be a penalty? Because it did look a little bit clumsy. What were your thoughts on that? And do you think we were lucky to get away with it, if indeed you did think it could possibly be a penalty?
I mean, I think it's pretty soft, and I have seen those given, but I would have been really angry if it was actually given, because I do think it was quite soft. And I think that it would have completely changed the dynamic of the game, and who knows what could have happened if they'd have actually got a goal in that game in terms of our morale and things like that. But no, for me, I definitely wouldn't have given it.
Right. It's about that time, 15 minutes into the show, and we've only got 30 likes. Tappy tappy, people. Tappy tappy, as Mr. Tappy Tappy would say. Rather than going over every point to each of you, I want to go to one point each because we're 15 minutes in, because I spent most of this talking nonsense as usual. So the next point I've got marked down, Carl, and if it's really important you want to come in, just let me know, but otherwise I'll just give you one each going all the way through it all. So the 15th minute, Carl, good job we scored early. They look determined. Were you surprised at how attacking they were?
Yes, they really did threaten us. And I didn't know whether it was our bad defending or their good attacking. It was one of those ones where you look at it, you think, oh, we could have done better there. But, you know, I want to give them a little bit of credit because I think they did do well. They put us under pressure quite a few times to the point where if they had scored, you would have said, do you know what, that was coming, and kind of accepted it. Arsenal wasn't playing the best. We was sort of at sixes and sevens at the back. And I don't even know why, because when you were looking at it, you thought it should have been an easy game. It should have been a game where we could have put out the kids and hopefully have sort of won it 3-4-0. But, you know, we almost Arsenaled it up because we almost invited pressure. There were times when we was good on the break, but we just kept on soaking up the pressure and getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And we weren't really pressing them. And they were really going for us. And, you know, Leno made some very good saves, I think, in the first half. Our back five or back three, whatever you want to call it, they seemed not to communicate with each other. And that was the problem, because I think they were Carabao players were finding space all over the place. And you're thinking to yourself, come on, someone should close that person down. Someone should close this player down. But we wasn't doing it.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there. People, if you're in the chat box or listening at home on the bus or on the tractor, go to on Twitter at the AFC podcast. Give us a little tweet saying Nanny Nanny Cheeky Monkeys or something like that, and we will follow you. But you don't necessarily have to be following us, but we will follow anyone. But we only follow Arsenal people. So if you ever want somewhere to go to find loads of decent Arsenal people to follow, go and have a look at the people we follow, because I'm the one who does all the following, and I only follow people that are Arsenal fans or fellow podcasters that range all kinds of podcasts. So that's always a good place to go to find new people to follow. Right. Oh, someone's given us a thumb down. Right, in the chat box, if you could find out who's given us a thumb down and beat them to within an inch of their miserable lives, that'd be fantastic.
It was Fife.
I wouldn't be surprised. Andrew, 17th minute, back to... why is it... Double barrel surnames used to be your mum's and your dad's, with a little dash in between. Now it seems that Smith Rowe, either his first name is Smith, which it isn't, it's Emil. So do you reckon they've just taken out the little dash bit? I think that's possibly what they've done. If anyone has any information on that, you can let us know and send it by carrier pigeon. Right, so Smith Rowe, so unlucky. Great run by Kola, and all the time, and all started by Smith Rowe. What would you say was his best position so far after only three games? I know it's a bit of an ask, but Emery, what do you think Emery's thinks his best position is, and what do you think his best position is?
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, it's difficult to say because it's only just been three games, but I think I would probably say his best position, I don't know, I couldn't really give him one specific position. I think anywhere in that sort of front attacking three midfielders, it seems that he can have some sort of effect on the game. We've seen him come in, you know, from the right hand side, from the left hand side. I reckon he could play sort of in the Ozil hole, but I mean, there's no chance of him ousting Ozil or Ramsey or anyone else from that position anytime soon, I don't think. But yeah, he's really impressed me. He's really impressed me in all the sort of little bits of minutes that he's played. When I went to see him in the League Cup the other night, I think he was probably one of the most impressive players on the pitch. And again tonight, you know, okay, he missed that first chance earlier on, but obviously, as we know, he gets the goal afterwards. And I think he was always involved in the attack, always trying to make runs, run at the defenders, create something. He's got a good amount of pace on him as well, always linking up well with the other attacking players. And I think this, he's definitely got a bright future ahead of us if he keeps up this kind of progress.
Carl, on Smith Rowe, do you think this might be the emergence of him and the re-emergence of Iwobi? Do you think that might have something to do why the fact Wilshere was let go and why they've withdrawn the contract from Ramsey? If you could sum that up in under 30 seconds, that'd be great.
I won't do a carpenter. I don't know. It's too early to tell. And I think you can't just base that on one game. He needs to play a bit more games. a few more times, and hopefully he'll have a good partnership with Iwobi, but I think it's very early, too early to tell.
Fantastic. Right, staying with you, Carl, my next point is 27th minute. They have been putting together some really good bits of attacking play. I'm quite surprised, and I don't know if you are, if we are playing out from the back, then why do we take such long goal kicks? Because a couple of times that happened, and I'm then thinking, well, hold on a sec, he's just booted it three-quarter lengths down the pitch. Carl, what, enlighten me.
Because not every time you can play out from the back, because when teams get smart... But when teams get smart to it and they start closing down our defenders quickly, then you can't really, you have to just get it out and have an outlet. So that's the reason why I think, you know, I think Cech is the sort of person where Emery says, play out from the back. He plays out from the back and sticks to the wall. Whereas I think Leno knows, is a bit smarter. So he will think sometimes, okay, I need to go long.
Yes, because he did that most of the time when he was at Mönchengladbach. Was it? No, Borussia Mönchengladbach? No.
No, Leverkusen.
That's it. All lots of buzz, and I get my buzz mixed up. Andrew, 32nd minute. Liechtenstein out of position yet again. I say yet again, possibly only the second time at that point during the game. And they get yet another good chance. Should Liechtenstein stop playing like Bellerin does, as he doesn't have the pace to get back when things go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I did think this was probably one of Liechtenstein's poorer games for us. I think that, like you said, he committed himself forward a bit too much. You know, maybe he doesn't have the kind of recovery pace that Bellerin does to do that. But maybe, you know, Emery's just sort of said, you know, I still want to maintain that system with my right backs or right wing backs, especially maybe because the fact that he is playing as a wing back rather than just a normal right back, you know, Emery's maybe told him to add that attacking emphasis to his game. And I think that a few times we did get a lot of joy down that right-hand side. I think that, you know, they seem to have a sort of weakness there. I think the players down the left-hand side struggled to deal with Liechtenstein on quite a few occasions. But yeah, again, on the flip side of that, he was getting caught up the pitch quite a few times. And I do think that, you know, sometimes when we were, you know, a bit too open and they were attacking us and they were, you know, threatening us, I think that Liechtensteiner was sometimes, you know, put for that because he was sort of caught out of position up the field. But I mean, you know, it wasn't dreadful. Well, you know, I'm not trying to slag him off or anything like that, but potentially, yeah, not his best performance for us.
Do you think maybe that's why we went to a back four in the second half so that he wouldn't have to be playing that kind of wing back position?
Yeah, potentially. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah, if we shift it to the back four and Emery sort of said to him, listen, don't commit forward so much, you're getting caught. And yeah, I ended up closing out with a clean sheet. So
excellent. Right, Carl, moving on to who for me was the my man of the match. Who got man of the match here? According to this place, absolutely no one. Oh, Socrates got man of the match with an 8.1 and 7.9 was Leno. The first of my notes about Leno, I put 38th minute, great save from Leno. Although we have a solid back line of five whilst defending, because I always used to moan when in the Wenger days that it wouldn't be a flat back four or five, it would be a W back or a V back or a zigzag back. But you could see all five running in a straight line like that, running backwards and doing that. And I thought, ah, That made me and George Graham smile a little bit on the inside. So why were they still getting chances when we had packed the defence and Leno was, for me, the man of the match?
Because it's Arsenal. I don't understand.
No, you can't say that anymore. We've won eight in a row, Carl. We're a new positive team.
Listen, we have won games and no one is happier than myself. I think, you know, our performances don't match the results, but who cares? At the moment, we're winning games, and that's what matters. We're winning ugly as well, which is really good to see as well. Sometimes you can't just play tippy-tappy football. You need to just, you know, do the shitty things, and that's what we're doing. Who can explain why we're playing five at the back and they're playing in the straight line and they're still getting chances? It's still that the Arsenal way, and unfortunately, even though we changed manner, it's still ingrained in us. We've only added, I guess, one starter. You know, this is only Liechtensteiner's, what, third game for us? So it's going to take him time to obviously get back into his groove. And I understand that, you know, he didn't play a load of games, but he's still 34 years old. So you still have to look at his age. But listen, at the end of the day, yes, they created chances, but did they score? No, they didn't. So at the end of the day, you know, we're getting better at almost soaking up chances. I mean, I would rather that we didn't do it. I would rather that, you know, they had no chances, but this is football. Other teams are going to create chances against us, and it's how we defend and how we cope with those chances that makes us look good or look bad. And at the end of the day today, you know, the stat that matters is we have goals and they didn't.
Oh, you're so eloquent at times. It makes me sad. Andrew, can you compete with that? Are you excited with the fact we've had 3 clean sheets out of 4? Because a huge deal was made about the fact that we were keeping no clean sheets, but it doesn't seem to be that big a deal being made that we've conceded 1 in 4 now. And one of those games, we had to swap goalkeepers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, you know, that was sort of the one. Yeah, I mean, there are a few comments made about how we were defending for our first few games, but I think one of the big comments after we started winning games was, you know, yes, we're winning games, but guaranteed we're not going to keep the clean sheet. And you still don't really feel secure in us keeping the clean sheet. But at the end of the day, yeah, when you say it like that and you say, you know, 3 clean sheets, especially when we have to change our goalkeeper in one game, you know, you can't really argue with that stat. And I think that you are seeing a, you know, slow improvement. I think people, you know, we've got to remember that, as we keep saying, it's going to take time. And I think, you know, the mess that we've been in defensively and the fact that, like you said, you know, we've only got one starter in the team in Sokratis who's in the defence, and the rest are pretty much the same defence as before. So they've all got to work each other out still. We've still got to find out how to defend under Emery's system that he likes to play as well, which will be completely new to a lot of the players, especially the ones who have spent a considerable amount of time playing and defending under Arsene Wenger's system. So, yeah, and I think also with, like, Lichtsteiner again and, you know, with these kind of competitions like the Europa League, the guys in the back 4, back 5, they're not going to be playing together much. So they're still going to be working each other out and knowing how to, you know, when someone's going to make the run, when someone's going to drop back and when to hold the line, when to keep the high line. So it's all a learning process, I think, at the end of the day.
Jolly good. Right. I'm just looking. Qarabağ played their first game in Europe this season on the 11th of July, my brother's birthday. Wow, that is a lot of games. My next point going to you, Carl, is 41st minute. I've called him Smithy now because I'm getting fed up of saying his entire name. Smithy with another great chance, but took a second touch and it got blocked. Were you impressed with how quickly he decided not to have another go and passed it back? And I think it was Iwobi that had the shot, because that was in the blinking of an eye. He went, not having a second shot, passed it off to him. And then Iwobi, I think Iwobi's shot was blocked as well. But that was really impressive from Smithy, wasn't it?
Definitely. You have to understand he's an 18-year-old guy. So, you know, he's out there to impress. He's going to do the things that Emery wants to try and get games, but he's not rushing. He's, you know, sometimes you see some young kids get into the squad and they just panic and, you know, you can tell that they're not ready, but they're just thrown into the squad. He has got a head on his shoulders, which looks like he's played loads and loads of games and he's only going to get better. I mean, I know Arsenal fans have a tendency to, you know, heap praise onto any young sort of player that comes through. You know, we did it, we've done it with so many others, but hopefully Arsenal will take time with this one and, you know, he'll come in and, you know, Eddie Nketiah, he scored 2 goals in the Carabao Cup, was it last season, I want to say, against Norwich? And everyone thought he was going to be the next one since last spread, and he hasn't really been given a chance. So we've heaped praise upon him, but hopefully now that Smith Rowe will get his chance and he'll come in. And I think, you know, Ramsey probably will get phased out a little bit. If he's going to leave, then I guess Emery's under no sort of, he doesn't need to play him because he's not focusing on next season. And I think Smith Rowe will get some chances, but I don't want to put too much onto him. I don't want Arsenal fans to start saying, oh, he's going to be the next Messi, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. You've got to let people take their time with him. He's 18 years old. He's got another potentially 15, 20 years ahead of him where he can keep playing. So let's just see where it goes with him and hopefully he does get better and has a long, successful career with Arsenal.
Okay, a few comments from the chat box. Daryl Kane has put, Leno's ability to stop shots to his left is very, very impressive. The one today, along with Dean, is over the weekend. That's very true. Oh, that's Big Bunny Kane. Oh, because he's in my Forza Horizon 4 group. I did wonder who he was. Oh, there you go. Hello. Well, what else was there? Carlito Guna says to Rudy, we created chances, but we also gave a lot of chances away. Yes, we certainly did. Where was another one? Stan wrote something. If we win in a scruffy fashion, Stan the man, who's going to be on here one day. If we can win in a scruffy fashion, imagine what it's going to be like when Unai has it all locked down. Oh, stop it, Stan, you dirty boy. That's going to be a thing of beauty. There was one. Oh, yeah, again, I'm scrolling down and this thing decides to go off on its own. Where was it? Oh, there you go. Daryl Kane again says, remember what Emery said early on in the season. He would rather win 5-3 than 1-0. Something along those that lines. I believe he was asked about the 1-0 to the Arsenal song. Yeah, people, if you're getting buffering, just refresh the screen, because I've had that as well, and it just sits there with the buffering symbol. Every now and then it does it. Ah, yes. So what else is there? That I can't read because it makes no sense. Right, next point we're going to move on to will be to you, Andrew. Right, half-time substitutions yet again, which is something we've become used to after 22 years of having no substitutions till the 76th minute. Monreal off for Torreira. Is this to shore up the midfield, or a more organised defence, or possibly both?
Well, firstly, are we definitely sure that it wasn't to like an injury to Monreal or anything like that?
I went back and played Forza during the break, so I've got no idea what they were talking about. So it could well be. Is that what they said?
I'm not sure. The commentator sort of alluded to it, but they weren't really sure either. So I was
Stuart just Robson. Or if you're listening to BT Sports, Stuart Robinson, because they didn't seem to know his name. I thought he was it's quite interesting, considering he was hated by so many Arsenal fans.
Carl, I think it was more tactical than anything. I think if you look back at it, the three at the back definitely was not working. So Emre's not the sort of, I hate to keep going back to it, but Emre's not Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger's the sort of person who would say, oh, I'll give it 15, 20 minutes and see how it goes, because he believed in his philosophy. Arsene Wenger believed in, if this is the way I want my team to play, this is the way the team will play, and this is the best. Whereas Emre is the sort of person who looks on it and says, you know, this is not working, I'm going to change it. He's not scared to make a substitution, as we've seen over the past time since he's been here. But I personally don't think it was an injury. I think it was more tactical than anything.
Okay, a few more comments from the chat box. Rudy says, I'm a big fan of Torreira, gives us so much freedom in midfield, and he says he loves him. Toro Jr., no one gives Torreira the credit to keep us calm every time he's on. So I agree with that, yes. Hussein says, Monreal was defensively poor, it's why Torreira came on. Maybe positionally he might have been a little bit out, because I think playing him and Kolasinac, you can only really have one left-sided defender, and I think they were getting mixed up at times. Richard, who was on the Brentford one, and I asked him tonight as well, but he was busy. He says, as soon as I heard Robson, I muted the game. Big Bunny Kane says, I never saw Robson play, but he's a shit commentator. Michael Hanneman, Harneyman. Is that H-A-R? Yeah, Harneyman. Strange that Mustafi was overlooked as a replacement when Monreal came off. Yeah, but I think they wanted to play everybody in their proper positions at the back, going by some of the stuff that we saw in the second half. Alkin is asking, what do we think about Man United and Jose? I think we can sort of have a little chuckle to ourselves. Do you want to have a chuckle to yourself, Carl?
Fuck Jose.
Andrew, would you like a little chuckle to yourself?
I hope Jose stays as long as possible, so yes. Man United slump as low as they can.
Oh, apparently Hussein is a troll. Okay, I'm sure there's one of our mods in there. We'll sort him out if he is a troll. Okay. I'll get carried away reading all of your that fly pigeon, nanny nanny, cheeky monkey. Right, so I need to get on with this before Carl gets angry with me. He's already told me no more than an hour. Stop fucking around and get on with it. Right, so Carl, 48th minute. Say that again. 48th minute. Our defence was split again. Seems we haven't learned anything from the first half. Guendouzi, which I spelled D-O-O-Z-Y, is easier for me, still going back to the ball rather than Torreira, similar to what Xhaka does in the league. Is that our way now? Because I said that during the podcast. I mean, no, one of the show, might have been the last podcast that I was on, that it's odd that Xhaka used to be the one going to get the ball off the defence and bring it out, but now Torreira's there. I thought that'd be his job. Is it his job? Because he wasn't doing it straight away tonight.
No, one thing I did notice as soon as Torreira came on is that he was very deep. I noticed as soon as he came on, like he was literally the one to get the ball off the defence and turn and then give it to Guendouzi. But you're right what you're saying. Guendouzi, a lot of times, kept turning back and giving it back to the defence. So I'm not too sure what the game plan there was. It was very, very weird because you'd think that he'd be the one to sort of turn and drive at the... drive at their defence and sort of put them onto pressure, or even give the ball to someone like Iwobi so that we could pressure them, because Iwobi is like that person who's very direct. And I didn't quite know what was going on, especially to the very beginning of the second half. We were playing very, very deep, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it was a bit weird, because the frame shot I've got in my head is Torreira. Goes Leno, Torreira, then our two central defenders. And I don't know, did I imagine that, or was he really that far back at times?
I think so. I think he was playing very deep, and I don't know why. Especially when he first come on, it almost seemed like he was told just sit in front of the back four just to shore it up a little bit.
Maybe to try and keep it a kind of five when needed. Andrew, right, 52nd minute. Caught out again, but then seconds later, Smithy scored. Great work by Iwobi, who shielded the ball from three players, and Smithy put it across the keeper. Brilliant first goal for him. And I thought a lot has to be given to Iwobi then, because he is doing every game for me, he is doing more and more brilliant stuff. But he's got his back round there. He's got one player behind him. He's shielding two more players with his arms, and then he still managed to bring all those off, because they were all going after Iwobi because they thought he had the ball and they thought he was going to make a run at goal, and he didn't. Put it over the other side of the box, give it to Smithy, and Smithy did a little bit of magic. How impressive was that?
Oh, it was you know, a brilliant goal for any player to score, let alone, you know, a young academy graduate to pull something like that out of the bag. And yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, everything Iwobi did in the build-up there was great, and he's been great so far this season. I think Emery's really getting the best out of him up until now. But the finish as well, I have to say, from Smith Rowe, you know, that's not an easy finish to do. The angle, getting it, I think he got it through the keeper's legs as well. It's just all perfect. And you can see how much it meant to him and everyone else supporting him, really, you know, that, you know, he got that goal, and hopefully it's the first of many to come.
Yes, I think it will be. It's not even like you've had a pepper in the goal with shots from the middle of nowhere, is it? I think he only had a couple of chances and he scored one. And that's the second player on the night to score his first goal for the Arsenal. Where are we up to now? 55th minute, Carl. Guendouzi clattered yet again. That was possibly the fourth or fifth time so far in the game. He is becoming a target, isn't he?
Unfortunately, when you play, and I hate saying this, lesser teams, they always try to target players. And I'm going to go full Lord Hillwood. You know, he was getting the shit kicked out of him. And unfortunately, we didn't have a player to go in there and kick them back. You know, you thought Torreira would have gone up to one of them players and said, you know, kick him again and I'm going to fuck you up. But unfortunately, we didn't have someone like that. But do you know what? It just shows the class that we have, because we're not that sort of team. We're not the sort of team to go out there and kick players off the park. They tried to do it to us and, you know, it doesn't work. We still won the game, and that's what really matters.
Yes, that is exactly what matters. Andrew, 60th minute, another good save from Leno. More his reactions to a tricky bouncing ball that could have gone anywhere. It's very impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, I actually think he made a few good saves tonight. And I think, yeah, he's been pretty good in terms of goal. You know, people always said, oh, you know, with Cech playing, you know, you'd have at least someone who's potentially the better actual goalkeeper in terms of saving shots and stopping shots. But I think he's shown, and again, in this example here, you know, he's shown that he's definitely got the reaction speeds that we're looking for. And he's also quite good at holding the ball as well, and he's good at knowing when to time his runs to come out and take the ball, and he hasn't given away any silly, you know, penalties or anything like that. And I think he definitely looks like he can be a solid option for us whilst Cech's out injured, at least.
Yes, I agree. Right, the next bit I've put here is one for you, Carl. 62nd minute, Iwobi ran 80% of the length of the field and then went full Walcott. Did that make you laugh or cry?
I saw that as well, and I thought to myself, go on, son, go on, son. And then he just literally run into a cul-de-sac, and you're like, what the fuck was that for? Like, what did you do? Because it could, I reckon if he had really gone for it, he could have scored. And I think he kind of maybe ran out of energy as he got towards their goal. Because literally, you think to yourself, all right, go on, keep going, keep going. And he just sort of stopped, and it's like, oh, okay. What happened there?
Yeah, it was odd. Andrew, 64th minute, Ozil came on. Now, was that as a brand ambassador for Arsenal and for Adidas, or as we didn't need him to play, or was that because Smithy was fucked from running around for an hour non-stop? Or possibly both?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the brand ambassador explanation, but I think it wasn't that a bit of confusion about who he was replacing at first. So I think the fourth official put... I think sort of put the number four up, and yeah, I think they thought Elneny was going to come off, and then they sort of, I don't know whether that was a last minute change of mind or whether that was just a mistake from the fourth official, but yeah, he came on, and I think that, you know, he didn't affect the game incredibly, but I think that he did give the ball away a couple of times in the build up to some attacks, and I think his decision making when he had a certain chance late on in the game, where I thought he was going to, he got the ball on the edge of the box. I thought he was going to curl it in with his right or attempt to curl it in with his right into the far post. But I think he made the wrong option in the end and tried to square it for, I can't remember who he was trying to square it for. But I think that, you know, it was probably just to give him some minutes, keep him a bit fresh. And I mean, it's just nice to see him travelling further than north of the Watford gap, to be honest. So
he's never been so far north. But from that time he was Dublin for Santa in some kind of film. Someone just put something about a Santa film. Oh, it's Fife. That's a question coming up later. Right, one for you, Carl. 68th minute. Ozil befuddled off the ball. Then 30 seconds later, he has a chance to score or a short pass to, I think, possibly Welbeck. But pulls it back to a player behind him that he didn't even look at and gives it away. What the fuck was that?
Who knows? It's Ozil, isn't it? Like, with him, he's either brilliant or he's not very good. So, you know, I don't know what to say. Back in the day, this is the sort of game that Ozil would never have travelled to. You know, could you imagine Ozil under Arsene Wenger playing a game like this? Never, ever, ever. So, you know, it's good that Emery is going strong with his squads. And I don't know if it's a good or bad thing that maybe the youngsters aren't getting a chance, apart from Smith Rowe. Because you'd have thought, back in the day, Eddie Nketiah definitely would have been in that squad. But he wasn't. He wasn't even in the amongst the substitutes. So... But I think, obviously, Emery is going out to really win this competition. And I think this competition this year is probably stronger than I've ever seen it, especially with some of the Champions League teams that are going to sort of drop into it. And maybe he's trying to get the momentum or get the team's mind ready to say, you know, this is the team we're going to play. And we are going to play every single game to the best of our ability. I don't care who the opposition is. So I think that's it's a good thing at the same time.
Carl? We've been made to look like a pair of tits that we are. Baku is only south of London, is it? It's on the same...
Hold on, I didn't agree with you to say you've not been so far north. That was Andrew. And I was thinking to myself, what are you not thinking? Because Baku is south. So, but I didn't want to make you look stupid and I shut my mouth. And maybe I should have backed up.
I realised after I said it, but I thought I'd just try and keep my cool on my debut, you know.
It's on a almost a straight line along with Paris. And... Vienna. So we fucked up there. This is why I never leave the house, because I'd get lost going outside the front door. Andrew, 74th minute, doozy clattered yet again, FFS. Will this end up with us with being a problem, as we saw last week that he has a temper when provoked and continuously tackled? I'm surprised tonight that he didn't lose his rag a little bit. Do you think it could be a problem because they do pick on him, partly because he's young, partly because he's so enthusiastic and all over the place, and partly because of the hair, I think?
Yeah, potentially. No, I don't think it'll be a temper problem for him. I think we would have seen some worrying signs by now, or especially from the amount of times, you know, he got clattered tonight, and especially nothing was done on quite a few occasions, which I thought was a bit strange. But he didn't seem to kick up too much of a fuss, and I think, yeah, like you said, he's got the enthusiasm, and he just sort of gets a bit frustrated, but he doesn't go and try and, you know, attack someone or push him or start a fight or anything like that. He seems to eventually just get his frustration out, get back up on his feet, and carry on doing what he does, which is, you know, getting the ball around the pitch, spreading the ball out to the wide areas, and helping us to score goals.
True. Right. I forgot to say that Lacazette came on as a sub for Iwobi in the 71st minute. Now we move on to the 76th minute we'll stay with you for this one. Pappy is a beast, is what I've put. Two tough tackles, keeps going, shields the ball, and then still carries on. How impressed have you been with him so far this season? Because a couple of those tackles, I thought he ended up sliding in near the edge of our box, and I thought he looked like he was either angry or bored or something. But he was very lucky to have timed them both well enough, either to get the ball off the referee, not to see that it could have possibly been a foul. Have you been really impressed with him this season? I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I can't remember. It was your Carl that said it, so I'll ask you again.
Yeah, I think it might have been Carl. But I think that you've seen that whenever Torreira, you know, when he comes into the team, we just look a different unit. I think every time, you know, when he was getting eased into the team in the first few matches,
Has he gone quiet? What's happened?
He'd come on and completely. Now he's starting again. I don't know. Can you not hear me?
Oh, Andrew, I think your Wi-Fi is breaking up. Is there anybody within 100-mile radius of you using the internet?
Yeah, there are a couple people.
Damn them! Don't let them use it. Right. Say that last sentence of your reply again, because you broke up.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I just think that when he came on again, you saw he does something that none of our other players can do. He wants to get involved. He wants to get stuck in and put himself on the line and make those tackles that, you know, will just shield the defence that, you know, a lot of people seem to be either not skilled enough to do in, you know, in the correct sort of timing, or just don't have the balls to do it and take accountability for it. But he seems to love getting stuck in, love doing the dirty work, and love just sort of cleaning things up and shielding the defence. And yeah, again tonight you saw he came on and provided that extra bit of protection to help us see out the game and keep the clean sheet in the end.
Was it just me, or did it look like he was playing on the left-hand side up front? And did Welbeck drop back a little bit, or is it just the moment that I saw he'd maybe drifted out wide and Welbeck had dropped back into line at the kind of the 10 role? How did you see the formation with Lacazette on there? Because I struggled to work out who was playing where.
Yeah, I think it was a bit fluid. Yeah, I did see Lacazette come up on the left quite a lot, especially towards the last stages of the game. And Torreira sort of, I think, I wouldn't say he's given a free role, but in terms of what he does and in terms of sitting back, yeah, I think he was definitely told to just protect where necessary almost. And Lacazette sort of coming in on the left and doing what he does best in terms of tracking back and still getting in those tackles, especially if someone loses the ball quickly, which suits Emery's style down to the ground. In terms of someone loses the ball, you've got a few seconds to go and chase it back, win it back, if not, get down into the defensive formation and try and stop the counter-attack.
Sir Antonio says, tell them to get off. We're talking about the Arsenal. And Loki says, are you using the Norwich exchange? Loki, who was it? Daryl says, yeah, that he did go left. And I suppose Aubameyang was at home and going, ah, see how you like it, sunshine. I'm sure he does have a Cockney accent by now. Final question, Carl. I stopped at 79 minutes to come and make all this magic happen. So after this, I haven't got any more things to say. 79th minute, great counter-attack. Laka, Ozil and Welbs created all the space, and Laka gives it to Doozy to score his first goal. Great team goal, and a third person in the same game to get their Arsenal debut goal. Go wax lyrical.
It was an attack, counter-attack of beauty. It was absolutely brilliant. It's kind of the players that we have, we should be scoring goals like that all the time. And I don't see why we're not. We got one of the best passes in the world in Ozil. We got a striker who is clinical in Lacazette. You know, we have the tools to do that all the time. And I think it was brilliant. And Guendouzi comes along, scores his goal, and we're all happy. And, you know, it kind of sums up the game. You know, it was just pretty much like my tube service. It's a good performance all round. It's what we needed as well. I think when you go away from home and you score three goals, that's quite a convincing win. And for us to go so far as well, I think that will definitely give some of our players a confidence boost, our fans as well, and even the manager, just to know that he can come and make nine changes, and regardless of the opposition, you know, he can come in and make nine changes and still win a game of football, and convincingly 3-0 as well, especially getting a clean sheet. Leno, for me, that's going to be a big confidence boost. You know, he gets his second start in the Europa League, and he keeps a clean sheet. He knows now that he's going to be our number one in the league as well, so I think it was good for him to start today. For me, it was a very good team performance. It was what we needed. And hopefully going into the Fulham game at the weekend, it will give us a confidence boost because, yeah, some of the first teamers will come back in to the squad. And, you know, they know that they've got to play good or play better because they know they've got people behind them waiting to come to the squad to take their place.
Very well put. And give me some idea of our result tonight. We know we beat them 3-0. Recent teams to go there that we've heard of: Fiorentina beat them 2-1, Spurs went there, beat them 1-0, Monaco went there and drew 1-1, Anderlecht went there and lost 1-0, Inter drew 0-0, and that's just for the Europa League. And for the Champions League, Karabag at home, Atletico Madrid went there a year ago and drew 0-0, Roma went there and beat them 2-1, Celtic went there a few years ago and drew 0-0, so that is probably one of the best results anyone's had going there. Meant to go again. Chelsea did go there and spank them 4-0, but we'll gloss over that because Chelsea are shitbags. Right, is there anything else from the game that I missed while I was making all this this happen?
Yes, you missed a Danny Welbeck glorious chance. How I don't understand how he didn't score. So, again, a counter-attack. Lacazette in acres of space. Lacazette probably, maybe if he wanted to, could have had a shot on goal and he didn't. He passed to Danny Welbeck, who was in acres of space. And I mean, literally, it was only him and the goalkeeper. And he puts the ball way over the bar. And you think to yourself, as much as you want to love Danny Welbeck, you really do, that's probably the reason why he doesn't start all the time. Because he should have at least tested the goalkeeper. And I literally mean it was from maybe the penalty spot. Just him and the goalkeeper. And he puts it over the bar. You think to yourself, come on, Danny, you've got to do better than that. You could see that he was upset about that chance and he knows he should have done better. But for me, the minimum he should have done was test the goalkeeper, the absolute minimum, and he didn't. And it's, you know, there's always that thing where you want to love Danny Welbeck because you know he puts his all in for the team. But you look at a chance like that and that's the reason why he doesn't start. And that's the reason why we don't always have a lot of confidence in Danny Welbeck because of chances that he missed. And that it was a prime example. You know, you're thinking to yourself, anybody could have scored that or at least tested the goalkeeper and he didn't.
Right. Shall we move on to some questions then, Carl? You've been beavering away in the chat box. Do you want to start asking them?
Okie dokie. I shall. Ooh. Right. The first question is for you, Danny, and it comes from Peter Coulson. And it is, it's just the first time we have all three scorers of the first goal of the club. But the no, we didn't, did we?
All three of them tonight, yeah. They're all their first goals.
Was it? Oh, yeah. That's good. Does anybody actually know? You're the biggest stat collector, Danny. So do you know where's the first time we had that?
I have the ability to use the internet. I don't know anything until I read it. I've got no idea, but no doubt that will be a question that will come up sooner or later. People to ask is Mark Andrews and Andy Kelly on Twitter. So they'll be the people to go. They've got another book coming out soon, and that's all full of Arsenal stats over the years and every single game played and goals scored and all that stuff. So go and buy their book. It's only 25 quid, hardback.
Go for it, definitely.
So I don't know the answer. I doubt very much if that's ever happened before. But sometimes we've had seasons like when 15, 20 players have come into the club, come and gone and things like that. So maybe, don't know, but I doubt it very much.
Probably. Right, Andrew, question for you. Does Holden deserve to be in the first team ahead of Mustafi yet? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think Holden has looked good in the time that we've seen him play this season. I think that he's not been outstanding or amazing, but then again, he is still young. I would potentially give it a go because I think Mustafi, he still hasn't shaped that trait that he's got of just dropping at least one absolute clanger every single game. And it usually they end up leading to a goal, and it just really, really frustrates me when he does it. So, you know, potentially, maybe not against Fulham on the weekend, but if we've got maybe on it, or maybe on the next home game, I might give him a go. Just because, you know, we don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like in an away game, and we don't know how he's going to hold up to it. But yeah, I would not be angry if that was a decision that Emery took.
I kind of have to agree with you, if I'm really honest. Danny, this is from Stan the Man, and his question is, do you think Unai is waiting to buy a winger before he moves Aubameyang up front with Lacazette?
We're very top heavy at the moment, so I have no idea when it comes to transfers. The best person to ask is go and ask Chris. Apparently, we've been linked with some kid at Lille in the French league, a £30 million bid, and he is a winger, but Chris doesn't rate him, so it won't happen because Chris doesn't like him. But I've absolutely no idea.
Yeah. Do you think, just a caveat on that, would you like to see us play two up front?
Yes, I would, because bring back the glory days of scoring the goals and big man, little man, which those two are. You don't really think about it, but you look at Aubameyang and Lacazette, there is quite a significant amount of height difference there. And Aubameyang would be the big man. Unlike Giroud, he has the pace to go and do whatever he wants, the goal-scoring ability, doesn't need six shots to get one on target. And I think that would be a great thing to do, but I think the team is settling into a formation at the moment where you're not going to be able to do that. And if we did play two up front, then you're not going to be able to play someone like Ozil or Ramsey behind unless you have a five-man midfield and three at the back. So there's so many possible combinations. I think stick with what we've got at the moment, but it would be nice maybe a League Cup game just to go out there and go on, then you two play together. You've got a great synergy together. And to see what they can do, but I don't think he's got a future. I don't think modern football plays 4-4-2 anymore, do they?
Well, didn't Burnley play last season, I believe? And, you know, they managed to get into the top seven. So I guess if you had the players to play it, then you can. It just depends on whether you sort of flood the midfield.
Yeah, who you'd have to leave out to accommodate having two strikers. And plus, yeah, it may well be that we are going to get a winger. But then I think if that's going to be the case, then it's going to be those two won't be playing together as much. But this is a 60-game season, hopefully. And so they'll both get plenty of games and maybe half games as well.
Very true.
4-4-2.
Well, who would... because you had...
Vardy and the Chinese guy, isn't it, up front?
Yeah.
Or the Oriental, I don't know if he's Chinese, but yeah.
I think he's Korean.
You think of some of the greatest teams that we've seen in the Premier League era, you know, the Man United team of 99, the Arsenal Invincible team, 4-4-2. So, you know, there have been some great teams of 4-4-2, but like I said, football's evolved. So, you know,
other teams as well. I mean, how soon did three at the back come in and then go out again?
Yeah,
we've seen tonight that it's not really for us, is it? So I'm not a great one when it comes to tactics. I mean, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast. In fact, I didn't even have breakfast. So I do struggle.
What about like 5 o'clock?
I did like someone today. I was listening to Talk Sport, and one of the people they had on there as a guest said, yeah, we might go back to playing 4-4-3 formation. And I thought, yes, my kind of bloke forgets that we have to have a goalkeeper.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a nice caveat on to talking about three at the back. Question for you, Andrew. Do you think, this is from Big Bunny Kane, and the question is, was three at the back a tactical decision based on opposition, or do you think it's a trial experiment?
I think personally that it was vision and just tactically for tonight. I can't see him, you know, making any sort of switch to that. I think historically Emery hasn't liked to play that sort of formation anyways, I think. And also, you know, the four at the back has been working for us so far in all the other competitions. I don't see why he'd suddenly decide, right, time to change it, even though we're winning every game. So, yeah, I think it was just for tonight.
Kind of have to agree with you. I think it's the first time we've seen it, and I don't think we'll probably see it again very, very soon. This has been... I don't really want to talk about Ramsey, because I think if you want to have a Ramsey talk, listen to the pod. You know, whether you agree or don't, you'll have a wide range of views on Ramsey.
If so you're a Ramsey fan, possibly don't listen.
Yeah, so
that was a little bit over the top.
I literally just want one word. Don't carpenter it up. Just one word, yes or no. Danny, would you sell Ramsey in January?
No.
Andrew, would you sell Ramsey in January?
No.
Carl, would you sell Ramsey in January?
Yes. Anyway, let's move on. Question from some, I don't know what this person is. Andrew Fife? Never heard of him in my whole entire life. Sounds like a wrong one. Does anyone associate... debatable. Does anyone associated with ABW have an insane collection of living legends in the club, or for some odd reason hasn't secured their aforementioned player for the pod yet? I have no idea what Andrew's talking about. He's probably drunk on some £50 cognac that he's sipping in his mansion, looking at the overground trains going past, which tomorrow morning's not going to happen because he's playing a very dangerous game with me. So
I know exactly what he means. Yeah,
I know exactly what he means as well, but he's trying to be funny. And
we're
going to
gloss over that, aren't we, Carl?
Yes. So yeah. In summary, let's just wrap this game up, because I think we need to have gone on for longer. So, you know, you can't sniff at a 3-0 win. I think it's very, very good, especially away from home. You know, it's 8 wins in a row. We can only be positive. We can only think to ourselves now, you know, we're doing good things. We're going to play Fulham now away from home again. So it's going to be a test. And even if we, you know, if we win the game and the performance is not that good, it'll be 9 wins in a row. When's the last time Arsenal won 9 games in a row?
4 years. They said it on TalkSport today.
There you go. It hasn't happened for that long. So, you know, the manager's doing things and he's trying and he's experimenting. And you know what? Like I said, the performances do not match the results. But do you know what? Who cares? Because at the end of the day, when you look at that table, all you see is WWW. Like, we're getting wins. So
no one looks back at the 2005 FA Cup final that we played shocking in, fluked it on penalties, beat a magnificent Man United team. We just look back at that and go, yeah, we won the FA Cup.
Exactly. At the end of the day, in 2005, all it shows is the win. Yeah, we should have lost that game, but who cares? Like, no one cares. Like, we won the game, and that's what we're going to do now. And then we go ahead to Fulham, and we hopefully we do exactly the same thing. And even if, do you know what? I would take a scrappy 1-0 win against Fulham. I really don't care. As long as we get the win, that's all that matters.
So we got Fulham away, Leicester at home, Sporting away, Palace away, who are now shit, Blackpool at home. So we win all of those, which are winnable. That's 13 wins in a row. What a way to start your Arsenal career. Do you reckon I should wrap this up now, Carl?
I think you should, Danny.
Lovely jubbly. Right, thank you very much to all the listeners, all the wonderful people that are in there, chit-chat, and tappy-tappy people, tappy-tappy. Do not make me ring Jason Davies, because I will, and he will come round to all of your houses and slap all of your legs, tappy-tappy, and get rid of those three thumbs down.
Oh, if Jason was here right now, Danny, what would he say?
Oh, is he... Tappy-tappy, you fuckers. Stop fucking around. And he'd probably call you something dirty in Welsh, but he's back on Saturday. Good God, it's a 12 o'clock kickoff on Saturday, isn't it? Wow. Good luck with that. Let me know how that gets on, because I fucking won't be awake. So thank you very much to everybody in the chat box who's joined in. Nice of Mr. Fife to come and join us in the chat box, even though I think he's pissed.
Who?
I don't know, some fiffy bloke. I think he's Scottish. Taffy Taffy from Bunny Kane. If anybody is playing Forza Horizon 4, let us know. We have an ABW Forza Horizon 4 group. I'm about to go and play it for about 6 solid hours now so I can get to the online bit. Go to Twitter at the tall blonde, then the number one. He's the bloke in charge of our FIFA and in charge of this. All that remains for me to do is say thank you very much to Andrew. Did you enjoy your full debut in the full podcast?
Oh, comparable to Smith Rose tonight.
Yes, indeed. And Carl, I take it you enjoyed yourself as usual because Jason wasn't here to bully you.
Exactly. And I much enjoyed you, Danny. Thank you for hosting, as per usual. Very, very good.
Steady on, old boy. There's no need to take the piss.
No, I'm being deadly serious.
Look, it's 1 hour and 5 minutes. So remember, people, click that bell, click subscribe, because even if you do click subscribe, it still doesn't bloody tell you. I go and watch Ian Lee doing his live shows, and it still doesn't tell me that he's been gone and done it live, because the subscribe thing is YouTube. They're against us, but we love YouTube, if anyone from YouTube's listening. And yeah, that's it. Good night. And someone else has given us a thumb down. Right, find them and kill them. That's four in a row. I'll
it's King five logging in from different accounts. I'm telling you.
Bloody is all your fault, Carl. Right. Yes, 8 wins in a row. Another clean sheet. A magnificent performance. Onwards and upwards. Thank you very much. And good night.
#fuckfife.
Dirty boy.